This is a production of Cornell University.
EA meeting, June 4th, 2008.
I've got a discussion. Hey, good afternoon. I'd like to welcome everybody to today's meeting and officially open the meeting for today. Today is our election day for officers of the Employee Assembly, and I have a suggestion that we move the entire meeting into executive session. We don't seem to have any visitors now. And just in case any visitors do arrive, I feel it's better that we're discussing current EA members and giving pros and cons when they're in the hallway without visitors that aren't EA members or ex officio members or Office of Assembly members. But it's a discussion, and I'll throw that out there.
This is a technical issue, because outgoing EA members would not be members for the purposes of an executive session.
We'll leave them here for discussion, but they can't vote.
Yeah, they still, if you were in executive session, they would have to leave.
We can't have guests in an executive session?
Right.
Oh, okay. Well,
so you might, if you want to do that, I would recommend that you actually don't go into executive session.
Okay. Maybe no one will show it.
Well, I think a point where we just go on this recording, so it's technicality.
Or why have them go in the hallway?
So, I mean, we've already invited Simon Carey and the other members to speak,
Well, then you shouldn't. I would say you shouldn't go into executive session.
Okay. So now I'm just going to hand this over to Peter. And Peter's going to start the elections.
Is there a recording on? That was my issue, but we don't really want this recorded. Yeah, because when people go in the hallway, we don't want them to be able to listen to the recording afterwards. I don't care what's said about them. I mean, it's just unfair. But strictly speaking, this isn't a regular meeting, organizational meeting. We don't follow any kind of protocol about recording the minutes.
Right.
I don't see why we have to record them.
I agree.
I just want to make sure we're doing the right thing and stuff gets bit in the butt. Like, 3 weeks from now, somebody comes out of nowhere and says, you guys did this wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't care where we go on. I just want to follow what the rules are.
I guess I'm not sure, and Ari, I'm kind of looking to you relative to the process. If it's not an official meeting and you're not recording the vote, it becomes difficult to enact what you've done if we don't have the records to do that. That's my concern from a process standpoint.
Well, the vote's going to be announced, but we'd like to turn on and have a regular meeting where we announce election results, that's fine. But the actual discussion shouldn't be recorded.
Well, I guess my concern is that your rules state that confidentiality is only supposed to be required where there's like a policy reason, where there's a rule that says that this has to be confidential. And an executive session is the way that is preserved outside of an executive session. I mean, confidentiality, because you're not comfortable having somebody hear, not you, but because someone is not comfortable hearing what somebody else, having somebody else hear what they say, I don't think there's a basis for that in the rules.
What did we do last year? I don't remember if there was a recorder. Did we record it last year?
Yeah. The one time I shut it off was when the discussion about each speech was taking place.
Yeah.
And that one person came in.
That's what we're trying to have happen. Can we do that?
Well, that's what we did last year.
I'm fine with that.
That was actually official, or it was improper.
If we're done.
You have to have a motion if you're going to vote on something, I believe.
I'll make a motion to interrupt the recorder during the discussion when the individual writes to leave the room, then we turn it back on unless they return.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there any other
can
discussion?
I ask, that just raises a number of questions for me about our, is there an understanding then that the people who are present for the discussion will maintain it as confidential? What is the requirement for non-members of the employee assembly who are allowed to participate in that discussion?
Well, I don't think that if the discussion not being recorded doesn't mean that somebody can't go and tell other people what was said.
So it's just a motion not to have the discussion recorded?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. Any other discussion? I'm going to go around. Pat, Gary, Jason, Linda? Okay, I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, I have a second from Linda. All in favor to turn the recorder off during our discussions for each position being voted upon? All in favor? Ayes? Any opposed? We have one. Any abstentions? One. Okay. So we're going to pass that and turn off the recorder for each discussion.
Would you like to pass it over so I could make sure to press the button periodically? Thanks.
I would forget if it records all the time. At this time, I'm going to hand over the meeting to Peter, who's chair of our IOC, and he's going to begin the process of our election.
Great. Most of you think we didn't hear when we did elections last year, but basically, the way it's going to happen is we're going to work from the top down on this list, chair by chair, chair of internal operations committee, chair of finance committee, and a parliamentarian. As when we announced that particular position, anybody who wishes to make a last minute nomination, either for somebody else or for themselves, is welcome to do so. And then after all those nominations are made, people who receive those nominations will have a chance to accept or decline a nomination. And then after that happens, then each person who has a nomination will be asked to make a statement regarding their interest for that position. Then after that point, everyone else will have a chance to ask the individual questions about the position. Then once the question section is done, the person or the people who are up for that position will be asked to leave the room. We'll take an extra quarter, and then all of us have a chance to discuss that position amongst ourselves and the nominees. Then they'll be asked to come back into the room, and then we'll have a vote by secret ballot, and then that vote will be announced for that position. Okay? And then we'll go through all five. Are there any questions about the procedure?
We're going to do the secret vote before they come back in?
No, after they come back in, because they're going to vote as well.
And then they're going to tally them up?
Yes.
And announce it, mm-hmm. that the winner is?
So everyone who's a regular seated member is going to vote, okay. including the people who are up for that position.
Okay.
Let's put a poll on the spot. All right.
Leon,
question. Is it necessary to vote if there's only one candidate?
No.
I think last year we did actually vote, because if there was a majority no vote, then we would have nobody seated for a position, and we'd try to get another nomination. So we should double vote if there's only one person.
I just wanted to offer that in the other assemblies, when there's only one person, you have a vote, you ask for a motion to vote by acclamation, and then
you do that. Thank you. Okay. So I guess without further ado, we're going to start with the chair position, which is Brian's current position. Are there any last minute nominations for a different
question?
Go ahead.
I'm just going to put myself in for IOC. I'm going to have to.
Okay. And you already have also a nomination for a proper chair. Okay. Alright, back to chair. Are there any last minute nominations for a chair position? Just to read the list, all the people who received nominations and declined them were Hazel and Gary. So don't nominate them again, basically. Any other last minute nominations? Okay, so our one nominee is Brian. So Brian, feel free to make a statement.
Hi, Brian.
We're rooting for you, right?
Hazel did drum out. Gary, I didn't realize that you were even nominated. Hazel, in my my opinion, would have made just as good, if not better, of a chair. I'm sure she had her reasons. I welcome the other people trying to get involved, so I'm a little disappointed, but I do look forward to being chair again. I feel I've gotten over our learning curve. I can now not use the excuse, so I didn't know. Because some things do catch up to you. The Board of Trustees report, that event was, it was different than I expected. I believe it went well. And I believe that, thank you. I believe that next year it could be better. The same as the President's Address, same as all our award ceremonies, everything that we do, with me having the experience and going through it again, I can make it better. A lot of it I was going in and just trying to get by. For this year, I can concentrate now not on quite learning the basics of the EA. I can actually look at how we can improve and actually develop the EA. I have new plans for goals that I want to bring up. We've been working on that at the summer retreat, whether I'm chair or not. New vision. Want to shift people around and it makes sense. That's a different discussion. But I appreciate everybody's support. Any questions?
Any questions, Brian?
How long have you been in the chair?
No. 1 year.
1 year. What was the circumstances of outgoing chair?
The circumstances,
Donna's
term was up. She had already been extended. And then I was nominated and had a...
Were you already an EA member at the time?
Yep, just like you, though.
Okay. So...
Been on for a few weeks or so.
Oh, okay.
So it was new.
Not being of any political persuasion, what I just heard, I'd like to nominate Barack, Hillary, and John. Just kidding.
Too late.
Yes, I have to ask one question. A few months ago, you were looking to possibly leave the EA, and now you're looking to be the chair. I'm just trying to figure out what the switch in thought process is.
Yeah, that's fine. I can't speak for everybody, but I do know that there are specific examples that that's happened. In a volunteer's career, road gets rocky, you want to look at other options, whether it's considered escaping, whether it's considered moving your time to a different commitment. At the time, I was having some pressures from work, but I straightened those out. Also felt that I do good. I enjoy it. I sat back. I thought I would miss it. I know I would miss it. I haven't been on the EA other than chair. It would be quite a different experience. A lot of it was pressure from work. But I didn't throw in the towel, which was a good, positive action on my part, I think, even though I'm talking about it. But I didn't quit. I stayed with it. And that's a good example of what could happen in the future if the road gets rocky or if work is demanding, that I wouldn't throw in the towel. I would stick out.
On a serious note, speaking of the future, what do you see this coming, upcoming year? Where do you want the EA to go? What are one or two priorities that you see that need to be worked on?
Priorities would be our new ad hoc committees. Actually having them come up with some recommendations that we act on. That's the charter review, and then the charter review ad hoc committee for Article 3. Our goal of communication and reach, I believe, is too broad of a goal to be concentrated on by the EA as a group. It needs to move that, and this is a vision. That communication tool needs to be just part of our everyday life, but it needs to move to communications committee, where we don't have to focus on it, which opens up new goals for us, communications to teach. One, in the Marine Corps, as Esprit de Corps, I was
spirit of the Marine Corps, one goal that I would propose in the summer retreat is that we try to work a goal, establish a goal for increase in spirit of Cornell University. And I think that will work along the lines with communications, but I think that it would be a new vision, a different direction than we've had to increase awareness and spirit, which helps. It's still, to do that, we still have to reach out. But that's one idea. Don't know if it would be effective. Don't know what other people's thoughts are. I would like to bring in, continue building our relationships with other committees across the university, other players. I really liked what we did this spring by bringing in these people to speak and strengthen them. I actually thought that it would be nice to try to strengthen our relationship with the faculty staff as well. I approached the Board of Trustees. My speech to them, it didn't say anything positive about faculty, not purposely, but I mentioned. But Charlie Walcott got up after me, and he spoke highly of staff in his report. And I think that even though we're trying to fight for staff rights, faculty do assist, and we need to look at them as important players too, and actually recognize that. Those are a few things. There's a lot of ideas. But I have been thinking about it. Yes, ma'am.
Brian, I don't know if it's intentional, but we seem to have lost that real solid connection with senior administration this past year. How would you strengthen, develop that partnership a little bit more than what we've seen in the past?
We did seem to lose it more so, just so we're on the same page, this past spring, more so at the end. Okay. A lot of that has to do with not having agenda items that are of value when we have leadership meetings. When we have these special meetings and gatherings that the senior administration walks away and says, well, I could have really have done something different than me with the EA. That's a driving factor, I think. So we have to initiate challenge and inspiration to our senior administration. In the Board of Trustees report, I did thank Mary Austin and our senior administration, President Swarn, and President Swarn from his book seemed very, very pleased. That's another way of increasing that. President's address, planning for it, doing something a little different. I would actually like to get a small group of people together to plan the President's address starting now. Do something a little different than a week or two before. That type of activity should help increase our relationships with senior administration. When we get tickets for the Board of Trustees football games, that we all go. We try to all go, not just a couple of us. Because they're extending the offer to us. We need to jump on an opportunity.
Any other questions for Brian? All right, so I guess we'll have to step out while we have a great discussion.
The recorder is back on. My understanding, a call for acclamation is a call for approval without any opposition. It's basically, unless anybody is opposed, this person is approved.
Correct.
I would make a motion for approval by acclamation.
I second.
For Brian as chair.
Mm-hmm. You have any opposed?
I second.
Any opposed?
Okay. So, Brian.
Thank you.
All right, so the next position we have is vice chair, and the current nominees for that are Jason and me. So, are there any last minute nominations for vice chair? Oh, and the people who had nominations who declined were Pat, Bill, Leon, and Gary. So those are the people.
Okay.
Is
there another IOC member here that wants to take over while you
While I go?
Did we discuss the chair taking over for the rest? One of the reasons that GPSA and SA have the chair take over the rest of this meeting is because, first of all, they're the chair of the assembly, so it's an appropriate role.
Yeah.
But also, since they've already been elected, they shouldn't have any conflict of interest for the rest of the meeting.
Or I can work with you on it, you know, if you have your accommodation.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. So I'll sit down over here then, and then I can see what I can roll first.
You stand right there.
Okay. I guess we're going to start. Jason is on there first. So okay. We will start with Jason. If you have any questions for Jason, or Jason, you want to start off by something.
Okay. Well, usually whenever I get involved in an organization, I like to quickly rise to a leadership position, and this is obviously no different. So when I knew the vice chair position was going to be available, I thought about it and kind of weighing the issues of, you know, the time commitment and what's involved with it. I think the activity that the vice chair does is very exciting to me and can be a great experience as I continue my new potential career in governance, wherever that may lead me to. So anything that I would do in this position is going to be experience that I'm looking to further my next life. So it's something that I absolutely want to do very strongly. With that said, my job has also changed radically. I'm working to move into a more senior position, which has taken more effect on my time. However, I'm kind of like pulled in two different directions. Continue the career that I'm in that I might leave someday, or, you know, get more experience at the EA. But obviously I have to do both if I'm going to stay at it as an employee at Cornell. So I think at this point that it could be a struggle for a few weeks or months, but I should be able to manage this time constraint. And we're doing some new things in my department that would remove that. So I want to be actively involved in the EA, and like I said, at any leadership position, I like to be involved. I want to be a good representative of the EA as a whole when this position allows that. I'd be very excited to chair the communications committee. I have had a strong communications background in everything that I've done, from public speaking to how you get information to the people. And one of the biggest things that I would want to strive for is I don't want any employee at Cornell to not know what or who the EA is. When I went around to collect my signatures, I was rather upset when I heard people, one, if they, well, you signed this petition I'm running for, oh, sure. They didn't even need me to finish the blank because they were going to sign off on me. But then when I said the employee assembly, what's that? I think we've got a communication, and this is a big shift. Nobody at Cornell is going to know what everything at Cornell is there, but this is a governance body that is supposed to represent the employees. And so how could you live in any entity and not know that there was a governance system there for you? Like how could you live in a state and not know there was a government, or a country and not know there was a government? So that's something that I would strongly help lead the communications committee to do, to make sure that everybody knows what the employee assembly is.
Okay, before we take questions, because I don't want answers that Jason gives to assist Peter and his, I want Peter to go ahead and give the same start off introductory. He's in short. He might be.
Before we move to Peter, could Jason just share with us his job responsibilities, or where do you work and how long have you been here?
That's different than, yeah.
Could we do that before we move on?
Okay, I've just finished 5 years at Cornell. I've been a computer systems administrator, engineer for like 15 years. I have a background in everything computers, and right now I'm
a systems administrator in the School of Electrical and Computer Engineering, possibly being groomed to fill a senior position as the network engineer. So basically taking my skill set to the next level.
Thank you.
Okay. Peter.
I've been in the FLIT assembly for 3.5, I guess almost, 3.5 years. I've been chairman of the operations for the past year and probably chairing the year before that, but sort of the executive committee for 2 years. This past year in particular, I was actually the only kind of older EA member on the executive committee, except for Inza. So Brian, Carrie, and Bill kind of, would use me as the voice of experience on the executive committee, and that's a role I welcome. I was always very eager to assist, chair, vice chair, and the finance chair in all of their roles, and to answer questions they had, whether it was by phone or by email. Carrie, Brian was hesitant to call me or email me with questions about just about anything related to the employee assembly. So that's a role I welcome and enjoy thoroughly. And vice chair, that'll give me a strong opportunity to really support the EA pattern and also kind of represent the EA in the face of administrators and others at Cornell. I'm currently on communications committee. I've been on it for 3 years. It's not going to be any trouble for me to continue attending those meetings and to take over basically the leadership responsibility committee. Carrie said she's going to stay on, so we're not going to kind of lose the goals that we're currently pursuing. So I think with that regard, I feel really comfortable heading communications committee and staying on it. In terms of like a facilitator in a public face, I've facilitated quite a few events, including Chili Chat, Listening to Leaders. I did that thing at the Campus Life where I had held little workshops about the EA. I've had individuals in human resources come to me specifically asking me to help facilitate events like a diversity event last year. So people at this point are familiar with me as one of the faces of the employee assembly. They're comfortable with me being part of an event, either leading the event or helping facilitate it. I think it's important for the chair and vice chair to be people are able to be a face for the EA to communicate comfortably with others that in various types of media. So I think I'm kind of out of steam.
Do you want to just where do you work and what do you do?
I work at Office of Human Resources at UC Del Plaza as a programmer.
Computer programmer. Okay. We're going to go this way. I think that there's two candidates. It's an important position. Let's see if we'll go in order as far as asking the candidates questions.
Okay.
All right. I wouldn't ask. Just
open for discussion. Carrie, do you have anything?
I do, actually. Communication committee, there's a lot of things going on and things that need to be reported and figured out and scheduled and stuff like that. Do either of you have kind of a plan for how you work fast to make sure that things stay on task and don't slip through the cracks and stuff like that?
I'll let Jason answer first.
Well, I'd like to have people know what's going on as far as if there's a main project or something like that, frequent updates via email or a wiki or some type of means of technology, because that's where my life has been almost my whole life. So I'm really strong in finding the appropriate tool in technology to use to keep people up to date and to use it as a collaborative method, make sure people get their opinions heard and everyone's on the same page.
Thank you.
I'm actually just going to throw with pretty much myself right on Oracle calendar. So when I'm sitting at my desk, I got pop up and says, do the agenda now or do this stuff now. And then I've always been really quick about responding to emails or from other EA members or people outside the EA.
Okay. Don, do you want to pass?
No.
Leon?
For Peter, what are one or two of the goals that the communications committee is currently pursuing?
Definitely the outreach thing. That's a really big deal. We're trying to, as Jason just succinctly reminded us that, when you have official people, I think that's going to be one. That's been a goal of ours for a very long time that we're currently pursuing. There's actually quite a few goals on our list that we're doing in the communications committee. We have some technological ones about improving the website and making it easier for people to find it and access it, adding more information out there. Obviously, goals about doing a better job of advertising new officers and new employee members, assembly members in papers, via email and stuff. We're really trying to make it taking the best advantage of all the resources that are available and finding new resources.
Jason, a question for you. What should be one of the major goals that the communications committee should be pursuing?
Well, I think, it is a passion of mine to make sure that the employees know that we exist, and obviously it's not a standing goal. I think it's something that's got to be like the number one goal of the communications
committee. And how do you do that?
How do you do that?
How do you do that?
Well, I would want to review with the committee all of the existing places that we get the word out and try to supplement it with other things and really start get a brainstorm together, maybe even doing some ad hoc surveys to some staff members saying, where do you get your Cornell information? Because I get emails and there's call print, different things, but different people pick up their information in different ways. And you got to find out what is, and no one medium is ever going to be the solution. So how many mediums can we get our message out there that the employees are going to see it? That's the challenge, is finding, identifying all of the vehicles of information delivery that we could use at Cornell, then identifying which ones are viable for us to use, and kind of figuring out, well, if we use those vehicles, how many employees are we going to be reaching?
Yeah, thank you.
Karen?
So what Cornell unit or department do you think does a really good job with outreach?
It's really hard to say. I guess when I get a university-wide bulletin via email, I always get those. Or if I see a President Swerton email come in, those are always fun to read. But that's me. I watch email. When I see a system-wide, university-wide message go out, those are like, wow, there's some serious information here. So, I don't know, maybe it's something like where, if we know that this is an employee-only message, we could maybe develop a standard footer on all these messages that say, by the way, as an employee, did you know you have access to no harm in just adding it onto a footer of a message that's going to reach everybody anyway. But there's an issue that I've continually heard is that some of our employees don't have access to email or don't check email or whatnot. And so how do we outreach to like the grounds people and the custodians and that their job isn't connected to a computer? I don't have the exact solution for that, but that's a strong goal to work with the committee to try to identify how do we reach out to those people.
Same question.
Athletic actually does a really good job with their advertising. It's really cool that it carries on there because they don't use just email, but they have flyers and these building coordinates and all that stuff. So to answer your question more directly, Athletic is one of the departments that does a good job with that. And our new employee elected trustee is also part of that group, so that helps as well. Human Resources actually does a lot to have advertised staff. Of course, they establish makes sense for human resources, and we connect closely with them in terms of using those campus-wide emails. It really helps have the connection with Mary Compton and the president more directly, and the other vice VPs like VP for Building, Steve Rowling, Tyler Lewis, using them, have access to them to use those kind of university-wide connections. So, yeah, I would say it's like just a good job there, the connections to them.
I have something I want to add from a technology perspective. I was recently went to a meeting of digital signage. Because that's a big wave. Everybody loves to have digital signs in their buildings. Well, one of the ideas was that the company wants to have the software operate on an enterprise model, really. And so it's something CIT should buy, and we can all plug into it. Well, one of their vehicles was an emergency broadcast function. And I thought, well, Steve Golding's group would probably love that. You know, if you had hundreds of LCD displays all over campus, and that group had the ability to send an emergency announcement to all those displays simultaneously, wow, he might just fund buying the central server for all of us to use. And during a time when there's not an emergency announcement, we could have information portals that all these units could subscribe to, and it could be like, hey, did you know there was an EA meeting today? Want to attend? See what your EA is up to? You know, stop on down, you know, day hall. So that's kind of, I really try to plug into the campus and what they're doing in IT initiatives, and obviously I'm going to bring a different eye to it now to really say, how can the EA use this?
Thank you, Peter. Do you want, I'll give you the opportunity to add an additional comment if you have any. Okay. Okay, thank you. Julie? Briefly, we got to speed up. as the chair, there's a lot of functions that the vice chair does, and Carrie did a really, really phenomenal job at it this past year. And he'd give me an example of proven track record of paying attention to details and not letting important or anything fall through the cracks. That's what I view the vice chair's role is, to support the chair, not let things fall through the cracks, not let us, you know, keep his attention to details. And I'll start with Peter. Starting with Jason first.
Okay. Well, I've already kind of held back you and Carrie throughout this past year, especially because you're new, and there's a lot of things that you could miss just because of your lack of experience in the flight assembly. So I think I've kind of shown already there that I'm looking forward to those two positions. But just in general, I mean, I always try to talk to you and catch me on email, and being part of the executive committee, I kind of get the same email, so chair by chair, two bases who respond to catch something, always be like, you know, da da da. In terms of like procedural type of stuff, is that I'll see always, you know, the next catch, you know, like you should do things in a certain way. So, yeah, and then when Donna was chair, you know, we communicate a lot as well, bouncing the design boards, and that would help her. You know, she was really busy, that helped her catch a lot of stuff too, and had good attention and things there. So that things wouldn't slip through the cracks as much, you know.
Okay. Thank you, Jay. Well, in my job in IT has always been so multifaceted that you're always pulled in every direction. Interruptions is the story of my work. So a lot of times to keep organized, you know, if there's something I need to be on the top of, it's on the calendar, and there's either floating things that can move to day to day or a set, you know, deadline. So in support of the chair, would be if the chair delegated something to me, I would make sure it got done and track that progress on my calendar. And obviously filling in for the chair wherever needed.
Okay. With that, we're going to ask you both to go out. I'm not going to answer any other comments or any of your questions. Put it on the door. That's what I did. First time.
Well, this was embarrassing because at one of the meetings where Jim Minko was, he corrected my statement on this. The chair votes to make or break the tie. If the chair's vote does not change the outcome of the election, then the chair does not vote. But in the case of a secret ballot, I think the chair votes no matter what. Because
okay.
Otherwise the chair wouldn't have an anonymous vote.
Right. How do we break a tie? Yeah, I know. How would we break a tie? There's 10 voters.
Well, you remove your vote, and then you no longer have a tie, and then...
Did Alan give anybody a proxy?
Not that I
vote on his.
I asked him, but he didn't reply.
Okay, well, anyway, we don't have to worry about that. The results of the election for vice chair. Jason, you are our new vice chair of the EA.
Congratulations.
It was 7-4.
Out of 10.
Yeah.
No, that's 7-4.
That's
7-4 him.
Oh.
So that's gonna be Jason. So obviously Jason. So at this time, I'm going to ask for any nominations for IOC chair. And with that, we're going to move right now. Peter, you're on there first. We're going to move on to Peter if you want to say something quick about IOC.
Well, I've been IOC for the past year, so and everything I said for previously for vice chair still applies. So, you know, all that applies. I'm going to keep serving communications and doing all that stuff and keep participating in the executive committee.
Thank you. And Julie? No, please candidates. Huh?
What?
Okay, candidates, but please don't feel rushed. I want everyone to have the same opportunity. If I rush and I'm going too fast or anybody, just slow me down. But you do what you feel the need to happen.
I've really enjoyed the time that I've been participating in the EA. One of my primary interests in the EA was to gain
fashion photographer. I work with many different people, and I also maintain a 4 terabyte archive of images, and that requires a certain amount of organizational analysis and handling ability, which is something that I really enjoy. And I think in terms of my internal effort in the city, I'm really interested in like working with the committees to maintain, to brought up that there's a number of agenda items that I'm looking to craft to make sure that we stay on track in terms of how the committees communicate with one another, how we maintain the pertinent current agenda items. I'm also really interested in maintaining with a positive spirit and nurturing that throughout all the committees, and ensuring that the internal operations are consistent and that the regular communication channels are remain open. Again, this is something that's new to me. I think it's while I haven't done this kind of work before, I feel it's going to be really exciting to learn about. And I've been participating on a number of committees to see how they work and how we communicate with one another within the community, the committees themselves and the groups as a whole. And that's been really interesting. And also, I think one of the things I'm really interested in is kind of ensuring that, you know, we really keep an open spirited dialogue so that we can agree to disagree and we keep the energy moving to the committees. I've noticed that a lot of the groups aren't meeting and that there aren't agenda items, and I know that we've got our ad hoc committees to review our charters, and it's something that I'm very interested in looking at and kind of refining some of the operations that we have that might not be as efficient as they could be. And
I'm going to open the floor, and I'm going to call on people as we're not going to go around. So if anybody has anything they want to ask. Pat?
This can be for both. To me, in my head, I'm seeing the IOC as responsible for making certain that committees are fully staffed. How would either of you presume to do something like that to make certain that we've got adequate representation on the committee? Whoever wants to go first.
That's one of the things I've actually been looking at in terms of going through our charter and going through the list and seeing other things that get updated. And I've spoken with Amy about some of the updates. And I have definitely noticed that some of our committees are not fully staffed. I think it's very important that we have good representation. I think that's also part of the charter review, looking at possibly streamlining some of the committees and combining them. And so that we have the ability to fully staff fewer committees, something that might actually really work to our advantage, and also facilitating the agenda items and keeping things, you know, just keeping the momentum up so that we don't lose sight of some of the issues that we have to address. So it's something that I have to be looking at and see where the options are.
Yeah, I agree with what Judy said about making charges and streamlining the committees. It's something we've been dealing with ever since I've been on for the past 3 years, and there's kind of a balance between having people on committees that are really motivated and excited about participating on and trying to have all the committees staffed. And for example, right now, you know, COMCOM kind of shrank down to 2 or 3 people, but now it's expanded, and we have a group of 6 people, half assembly and half non, who are really excited about working on communications for the employee assembly. And to me, it's more valuable to have committees that actually do stuff and are really motivated to accomplish goals than just having a bunch of names for each committee that you know, for example, last year when I started out, I got a bunch of names for all the committees, and then each committee had 3 members, but now those committees are bad because people have dropped off, and at times me, they weren't really motivated. They, you know, they threw their names in the hat because they wanted to help fill out those committees, but because they weren't really excited or, you know, really into them, it didn't really happen. So, for example, you know, education for me hasn't met, even in IOC hasn't really met because I'm, you know, pretty much not a member and I have 1 or 2 others, so it's really difficult to schedule and people aren't really excited about that can change. So I agree that we should streamline the committees so that we have fewer committees that are more focused and have more time to accomplish the goals that serve the employees.
Any others?
You know, for instance, I've been in contact with Maureen Rule talking about the education committee, and I know that that's the committee that I've been in, and that has come back up over the course of the minutes, but I've been rereading this past year at the event that people wanted to participate on this committee. And I contacted Maureen Gould and talked to her to find out what was going on. I know that Donna was on the committee and it had mentioned that before I get into this that there weren't agenda items. And in talking to her, I found out that she had said that there was some unanimous like decision a few years ago. She's trying to find some email that it was an ineffective committee. And I don't know, you know, where that stands at this time, but again, I think we're going to be pretty thoroughly to see where all the committees are with the certain issues that they're taking on.
Okay. That's Mark, anything? Okay. We'll come get you.
What is it? They go out the hallway, they grab pizza.
So we have a motion on the table. All say anybody opposed? All right, then. Alan, is there a new chair?
Jane, can you go get
it? Yeah.
Sure. Is he on vacation tonight?
Here?
Where is he? No, he
everywhere I stand, it's called differently. So.
Alan, A-L-A-S.
Okay. We'll send you an email. I'll send you an email so they might go out. Get a long establishment.
No, Carrie should call.
Next, the last list we have up is Carl Minterian. The two nominees are Hazel and Julie. And we didn't have any people decline the nomination, so those are the current nominations. So if they need more last minute nominations, so Carl Minterian. I just want to add that the position is out. Too much responsibility, but those guys get affected. Okay. So, you can, Hazel and Julie can make statements. I will go up to H, so we'll go Hazel first.
I'm interested in the position because I'm very passionate about the charter. I think the charter is old, I think it's antique, I think it needs to be updated. It's going to be a long process. But I think it's way overdue. Also, I think the meetings need to be a little more structured. And I also think that the relationship between the EA and the employee assembly office needs to intertwine closer. The information that Ari has in his brain about the charter just blows my mind. And I think he's going to be very instrumental in updating the charter and having it say what we want to say, but in real English so you can understand what it's supposed to be saying. And so that's why I want to be asked in that discussion.
I think similarly to Hazel, I'm very interested in, as I said before, with the IOC, to underage students for group process, making sure that we follow appropriate group process, and I know that we use Robert's Rules as our reference. And also, I've talked about the charter revision as well. It's something that I'd like to very much be involved in, and looking at other models. And I think also working with Peter, possibly joining the IOC, I think would also be a good match. Being parliamentarian, assisting with the order of the meetings, and I also, as again, I'm repeating some things that Hazel said, communication. I actually just had emailed Amy this morning to ask, to specify, like, what exactly can we expect from the Office of Assembly, so that, we're asking the appropriate questions. And I think one of the other things that has kind of been an issue is really kind of creating a structured sort of chain of command. I know as a news person, it's been hard for me to, it's a little bit of a challenge for me to find out like the appropriate channels to talk to in order to make things happen. And again, so that we don't lose sight of some of the issues that we're working on and really carry it all the way through the correct channels and, without either doing an end run and bypassing someone and making sure that it's discussed properly and that, again, the proper parliamentary procedure is followed. And again, that's something I'm very interested in, and one of the reasons why I joined EA was to learn more about this group process.
Okay.
Questions for either Hazel or Julie?
Question for both of them. We will be going through some changes in the future. There's two committees that have been newly formed to address issues with the charter. There's even a possibility that the structure of the EA changes, which is going to involve somebody helping the Office of Assembly interpret the charter. How do you see yourselves as being a good candidate to be in that role? And I'll stop with you. I'll ask Julie.
I've worked with Ari a lot with resolutions, and what I don't understand, I call him and he knows it. There's no if and buts about it. I have a good working relationship with Amy, and I've known Peggy since I've been here. So I don't think there's any issues as far as that role and bonding with the Office of Assembly, because I understand how they play.
Okay. Thank you. Julie?
I think for me it's just a matter of being proactive and, you know, not waiting for them to come to me, but you know, meeting directly with Peggy and Ari and Amy, and also just working with the charter review. So yeah, as I'm a newer person, I know Hazel's been around for a little bit longer, but I have had communication with Amy and a little bit less so with Peggy and Ari, and just being proactive, I think, and just kind of taking the bull by the horns, as they say, and setting up the meeting. Follow through is really important to me.
As you get to know when you walk into his office
like this. Yeah, okay. Yeah, follow through is really important to me. I think that's just, you know, if something comes up that I, you know, that I feel like something that I can work on, just really following through again with your channels.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Any other
comments?
Yeah.
This is really a question to either the candidates, but I'm just clarifying my understanding. The parliamentarian is part of the executive group, executive committee, correct? Mm-hmm. So attends the alternate Wednesday meeting, and with the executive committee, you deal with some of the issues. Okay. I think that's just important for everyone to understand that. Mm-hmm. Because parliamentarian can be seen as like a role that just happens during EA meetings, but there's really this much larger scope to it.
Any other questions before I ask you to move? No? Okay. So
grab a piece of pizza and.
I'm not
Thank you.
This has been a production of Cornell University, on the web at cornell.edu.